Well, we're going to do a deep dive into the game Hide and Seek. It's a great game, isn't it? Maybe you already know how to play. But a refresher, maybe it's been a while since you've played. You know, it was a favorite game in my house when the kids were young. I would count, and they would scamper, and they would go hide. And they would always go hide in the same place. Raise your hand if you're a mom or dad and can identify with that. They always hide. They hide in the same place. Let me get my bearings here. Why do they hide in the same place? Why do kids hide in the same place? Because they want to be found. The game Hide and Seek for children is all about the reveal. They love it. They play the game to be found. Hide and Seek is an ancient game. It's not modern. It's as old as, well, it's as old as the trees. We find its first play in Genesis chapter 3. I'll just read a few verses here. And they, Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. That's where we first see the game hide and seek ever played. But they play it for a different reason, don't they? They play it for the conceal. And somehow, as my kids have gotten older, they play it for the conceal now. Let's see how long I can keep Dad off my trail. But children, the beauty of innocence plays hide and seek for a reveal. Adam and Eve in this moment hid themselves from God. They did not want to be found. They went into hiding. They went into obscurity. They tried to thwart and throw off God. That's how adults play the game hide and seek. We're going to take a look now at the players. And what can we learn from this? First, the hider. To play hide and seek, there's got to be a hider. And what sent Adam and Eve into hiding, and what sends us into hiding, we see this actually the last verse of chapter 2 of Genesis. We read this, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. There was no shame prior to adults playing hide and seek. And so we might say that shame sends us into hiding. Shame does that. We have Adam and Eve hiding because of the shame that their sin has provoked within their hearts and within their lives. Now I want to pause a little bit on the word shame, because shame goes by many definitions these days, and it's kind of important that we settle on one as we talk about it. But what I mean by shame in this sense here, it's interesting, it's this negative emotion that rises within them that causes them to retreat from the solution to what ails them. Did you catch that? It is the negative emotion within them that causes them to retreat from the solution of what ails them. That's how I'm going to define the word shame. And that's what shame does, is we recoil from the solution. We recoil from the community. We recoil. So that's how the hider works. Shame sends us into hiding. Now let's look at the finder. There's always a finder in the game hide and seek. It is the one that goes and pursues and is the one that's out for the hunt for the one who is hiding. I'd like to read the first finder in the game hide and seek. It was not yourself, nor your folks or grandfolks, but it was God himself. And I love this. I love this. In verse 9 we read, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said," and the story goes on. Here's what I've been so profoundly blessed as I've mused on the game hide and seek and how it's been played over time, is that what we see with God as a finder is really this. He is a God who draws people out of hiding. God is a God who draws people out of hiding. And yet so many of us and so many of people, and I would say as a general rule of thumb, people would say God does what? Shames people into hiding. But we see the testimony of God throughout Scripture is quite the opposite. We have this fascinating shift that's transpiring here early in Genesis. We have Adam and Eve in complete openness with one another. Pre the fall, there was no hiding whatsoever. And then after the fall, there is a concealment and shame. As if to say, God's banner over people prior to the fall, when he said, this is my creation, this is very good. Satan has now thwarted and twisted and put in the minds of man that you are broken without repair. You are altogether refuse. And that script, that banner, God has set off to change and to win back. And that comes through what? The scrub. The scrub of shame itself. How does shame get scrubbed clean? Remember, this negative emotion that rises up within us, which causes us to recoil from that which is the solution to what ails us. And the shame scrub has been who? But Jesus, right? Jesus was the scrub of the shame that separates us. He is the scrub of this banner that Satan has countered to say, this is a forever lost creature, a terrible creation, very bad. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him, Christ, right? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the Father. It's fascinating that we have a garden. We have a garden, two gardens. We have two trees. One tree was flourishing with fruit, and one tree was barren and dead. One tree too open and vulnerable, free, naked individuals partook and found clothes for themselves. And the other barren, dead tree, our Savior was stripped of his clothes and impaled naked, bearing our shame. Where were you? God calls out to Adam and Eve. Oh, we were naked. And Christ, naked, bore our shame. There's nothing I've been told, because I can't even relate to this gesture. But I've been told being spit on is some of the most despicable offenses a person can do. And our Lord was spit upon, saying that you were worthless. You are nothing. You shouldn't have been born. You are broken. Do you sense the banner that Satan had over mankind rested on our Lord Christ Jesus fully? We read in Isaiah, he bore our transgressions. He bore it all. And he bore, in particular, he bore the shame. This negative emotion that rises up within us, whereby we recoil from that which is the solution to what ails us. As believers, we have had the scrub of shame done in our lives. We've been scrubbed by Christ Jesus. Through repentance of sin and confession, isn't that coming out of hiding? Isn't that exactly what repentance and confession is? Coming out from hiding to our solution, Christ. Why then, and I'm going to suggest to you, do we believers still play the game hide and seek with the best of them? We do. We hide with the best. We've become masters at the game. There's as much hiding done in the church as anywhere else. And I might ask, I might propose, I might suggest, maybe more. Because the negative emotion that rises up within people to recoil and retreat from that which is the solution to what ails us is alive and well. I have no idea what that's doing. Am I right about that? Does that strike near to your experience? Maybe it wants to take over. Go ahead. What sends us into hiding? What sends us into hiding? There's lots of things that send us into hiding. We've already addressed one quite obviously, and sin sends us into hiding. But that's not all that sends us into hiding. That's not all that sends us into hiding. Here's some more. Sin, losses, send us into hiding. Okay? Losing things that are meaningful to us send us into hiding. Inabilities send us into hiding. I can't do that. I don't know how to do it. I'm stupid that way. I don't have that ability. Inabilities send us into hiding. Hurts send us into hiding. Wounds that we have had send us into hiding. Lies send us into hiding. I find it interesting that that was what God's first interaction with Adam was, is who? Somebody told you something here. And it didn't come from me, God said. Who told you that? Lies send us into hiding. Fears, anxieties send us into hiding. Because, well, we're not supposed to have those. Failure. We get enough of that, that will send a person into hiding. We've been told enough times, no, that will send us into hiding. Failure. I tried that. I went out on a limb. I took a risk. I won't do that again. We'll send a person into hiding. Rejection. Being rejected will send a person into hiding. So we're talking about much more than sin. I asked some of our counselors at the agency. I said, how many of counseling situations trace back to these core things? And with their help, this list was formed. These things. This is what sends people into hiding. And so we have in Christ Jesus the scrub of shame. And yet, there's more work to be done, and I think it's intentional. I think it's intentional. Because more work is to be done with the shame scrub. Jesus has done all the heavy lifting. Jesus has done all that is required. Now he asks for the church community to continue the work. To continue the work. To continue the restoration of the precursor reality of openness, care, acceptance and love, healing and restoration. What if we, as brothers and sisters, and I'm not saying this in a way that says it's not in force, and it's not in place, and it's not happening, because it is. So today we're going to put our finger on what's already happening and encourage it. But we'll also encourage it where it's not. And that what if we, as believers, called people out of hiding like God did? What if we were those who drew people out after the example of God with the scrub of Christ Jesus to be applied? What a compelling place would the church be for the larger community out there who right now in today's climate cancels with the best of them. And there was an answer for the brokenness of what ails us. Because there is. There is a solution to what ails us. And that solution is not us, but that solution is Christ. And what we want to do is direct people to him. So hide and seek. It's a ancient game. But suppose, starting with myself, suppose I reclaimed the joy of a child who found comfort and pleasure and thrill at being found. We catch that. We've caught the vision. Thanks for your attention.